My name's Liam, and with my wife Shen, we have the privilege of leading the sanctuary. She's not here tonight, she's looking after our little one. But with Dean and Beck and our team, we're just, God's just doing just some awesome stuff in our midst, and we're just privileged to be along for the ride. God's just, he's so kind. And so if you're visiting with us, can the sanctuary people just welcome our visitors, just welcome them. Got our good friends from Warrigal, Rach and Russ here. It's awesome you guys are here. They'll be like, we want to hide, don't point us out, but we love those guys. And hey, we've got some exciting stuff coming up. On the 21st and 22nd of April, if you're a parent, want to be a parent, want to just learn how to be a better human being with children, then come along. We've got Seth Dahl. Seth Dahl used to be the kids pastor at Bethel, and he's going to be with us actually at Discovery Church. And so we're using their building Friday night and Saturday day. And Seth's going to be doing a parenting course. It's $20, $25, $25. So come along. Even if you're like, I don't have kids, or my kids are all grown up and I just want to come. You're welcome to come. So then the week after, we have our new creation conference gathering that we're doing, and we're doing that at the Lilydale Baptist Church. We're just that way. That way. So we just use every church building in our region. We just try and so we got Corey Turner, Pastor Corey Turner from Newman Church, and Seth Dahl's with us, myself, Dean, and others. And we're going to be doing on the Saturday. We just announced we're doing. We got kids ministry is happening on the Saturday morning session. So that's the week after. What's that? The 28th, 29th, last week of April. And that's going to be Friday night, Saturday day. And on the Saturday day, we're going to be doing outreach in the afternoon. So if you want to come along in the afternoon, Dean's going to just get you fired up to go out and reach the lost in our region and in your life. So it's going to be, and then after that, we are launching, we've purposely done this, and Beck does an amazing job. So, hey, we're actually going to do this now before the end. It's just, I love to just bless. I love to be a blessing. I love to give. And so we want to give to Chuck. Oh, actually, before I do that, Johnny, do you want to stand up? John, Jade, and Salvador. These guys have come with Chuck tonight. Salvador, so just honor them. Salvador's come all the way from Austria. So he's come all the way from Austria. And these guys from Sydney, and Glorious Gospel Church Life, gloriousgospelchurchlife.com.au/. Glorious Gospel Church in Sydney, doing awesome stuff over there, and it's just awesome to have them here. But can we give tonight? And we're going to do it now. And you might be like, oh, I want to hear Chuck first before I decide. But I'm just telling you, I just don't think we'll have time to do it later, and I'll forget, and because we'll all be just lost in the glory of God, and so let's do it now in faith. Let's do it now in faith, and or you can also give online to our local. Just put in if you wanted to specifically go to Chuck. Just put reference Chuck or Chuck Perry or Healing Night or something to let us know. Otherwise, it'll just go into the general fund. So just you can do that. I think if we actually push this button right here, a slide will come up with our bank details on it. So you can do that as well for those that are tech savvy. All right. Father, we just thank you for Chuck and the team. And what they're going to bring tonight, we thank you that we can be a blessing. 100% of what comes in tonight will go to to Chuck, and we just want to be a blessing to him, and we've already decided an amount, and so anything above that we'll be giving to him. And so we thank you for what this man carries. We thank you that he's able to come to bless our churches in our nation, in our state. We thank you for the testimony that this man carries, the testimony of Jesus, that he's a priest, that he's a lover of you, Jesus. Mm. We thank you for him in Jesus' name. Hey, can you guys, so Chuck, I met Chuck 10 years ago in the healing rooms. We were talking about it today. And Chuck was one of the reasons he introduced me to Kevin and Kerry Butterfield, and ended up being on staff at the Vineyard for 4 years. And just some beautiful friends that a lot of us know in this house. And Chuck just carries such a joy, an infectious joy of the Lord, sees incredible miracles, and he'll tell you this as well, it all comes out of sonship. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's a son of God, you can see it on his life. He's a father in the natural, 3 children, 6 grandkids. Did I get that right?
Yep.
I said 6 kids, 12 grandkids. He said, no, 3 and 6. And so what this man carries, I want you to, a friend of ours said, every church meeting I go into, I position my heart to receive at least something. Because I can never outgrow learning. If you think you've arrived at knowing God, oh yeah, I've arrived at knowing the creator of the universe, who if he positioned the sun any closer, we'd burn up. And yeah, good one. I say that in love. But let's position our heart to receive from what Chuck carries. And I'd like you all to stand and welcome Chuck as he comes and shares with us tonight.
Thank you.
Have you turned yourself on?
I think so. I slid it. Can I get one of these... I'm going to steal a water bottle. All right. Seth Dahl is a friend of mine. Is this on? Is it working? Yeah. I think it sounds like it is. Ha. He's a friend of mine. And I highly encourage you all to go hear him, even if you don't have kids or don't want kids, you can learn how to be a little child again just going to Seth. He is a friend of mine, and at Bethel Church we had some fun encounters together. You know the 5 love languages book? Did anybody ever read that book and figure out what your love language is? Well, one of my love languages is physical touch, but really everybody says it's really collision, because that's what I like to do. And so, you know, I had this habit of sneaking up on Seth and just attacking him. And so one day, I was just minding my own business, walking down the hallway at Bethel Church. Seth hid behind the vending machine until I got, and then all of a sudden this thing comes flying through the air and crashes me against the wall. Except you be converted and become like little children. You can't even enter the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, God wants us to be more childlike. And it's that childlike, you know, it's sonship, but it's childlike sonship that just goes, yes, Papa, go ahead, blow our minds, you know, amaze us with who you are and what you're going to do. Oh, can I share some things that Jesus did?
Yes.
You want to hear some things Jesus did?
Yes.
Okay, so now I oversee the healing rooms at Bethel Church, and so when I'm not there, I have the most amazing team. I mean, It makes me feel like I don't even need to be there. I mean, my job is useless because they run it so well. So I get the stats every Saturday, or every Sunday, or whatever day it is here. I don't know what, I lost a day coming here. It just disappeared. Thursday just went poof, and it was no more. And so... But I just want to share some of the stats from this past Saturday. 5 people were born again in the healing rooms.
Come on.
Yep. One was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Yes. Three people had their breathing improved. Yes. One person had all flu symptoms disappear. Eight people had their eyesight improved. Yes. 20 people fell under the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's see. Six people had their hearing improved. 41 people had legs grow out. 32 people had their mobility improve, and 17 people had mobility fully restored in their body. 55 people had pain significantly reduced, and 120 people had all pain leave. Let's see, one person had the ringing in the ear. No, two people, that's one plus one. Two people had ringing in the ears gone. 19 people had stiffness and tightness gone. One person had their strength increase. Two people's swelling went down. 24 people were touched by God, whacked. That's a topic. Whacked. And one tumor disappeared and another tumor shrank.
Come on.
How cool is that? God, you're so good. Oh my goodness. I just want to brag on God. Is it okay? Can I tell you some more good stuff that God's doing?
Yes.
Would you like to hear? Okay. So we were in Mexico last month, I think it was. So we went to Mexico and we did this healing, just a healing crusade kind of big meeting, and trained everybody in healing, and people got healed. Miracles happened. And so we had about 30 people came up with dramatic testimonies. They're lining the front of the stage sharing. One woman was 8 months pregnant, and the doctors had said the baby was dead in the womb. It had been like 2 weeks and there was no movement, and they wanted to take the baby, but you know, they're holding on, and they came to this healing meeting. And when the person prayed, it was just people in the congregation praying for each other. When the person laid hands on her, the baby kicked in the womb and started moving. And so we heard testimony after testimony after testimony. And towards the end, I mean, this is just being honest, but a lot of times when you have tons of really, really, really cool testimonies, at the end, people kind of come up that want to be on the mic and have a little action, and they don't really have a testimony, but they want to pretend. And I mean, you can tell. There's just that kind of people out there. And so this one guy was coming up, and he's looking right at me, and he's kind of, you're sure that he's not functioning fully, you know, in his brain. But he's looking right at me, and he comes right at me, and he hugs me, and the whole congregation just erupts. And I don't know what's happening, but when he stopped and then he talked to me, everybody just freaked out. And it turned out that he had been severely autistic all his life and would never look at a man or let a man touch him or hug a man. And he did all that voluntarily. And so, you know, it's getting towards the end, and you know, there's this woman, you know, we're kind of finishing, but there's this woman staggering down the main aisle, and I'm thinking, you know, I think this lady's drunk, not on the Holy Spirit, which would be fine, but I thought, you know, maybe she just came in drunk and she just wants some of the action. So I had to apologize for judgment afterwards, but, you know, she's kind of staggering down the front, and she takes so long to get up, and, you know, I'm not sure that I want to hear her testimony, but I go ahead and do it. She said, "Well, I'm so sorry it took me so long to get up here, but I've been blind, and in the back when they prayed, my eyes started opening, and I haven't seen, so I didn't know what it was like to walk to the front." Ah, Jesus! God, forgive me for judgment. Don't judge by the seeing of the eye. Oh. Phew, God did that. He just did it because he does it. Yeah, it says says in Psalm 72 that he only does wonders. That's all he knows how to do. That's all he knows. I mean, he just does wonders. He just does miracles. That's all he does. Oops. I can feel him right now. I was doing a healing meeting in the United States, and lots of cool stuff happened, and people got healed, and it was way fun. But at the end, this older woman came up to me, older than I am, even. And she came up to me and she said, "We need to pray for you." And I said, "Oh, what for?" And she goes, "That thing that you do." I said, "Honey, you can't pray that thing out." And this other lady who sees in the anybody see in the angelic realm sometimes? Anybody ever see? Yeah, some people do, and it's awesome because then they tell me what they see, and it's always amazing. But you know, this other woman said, "Oh, you know, I was watching. You know, when you do that thing," she said, "there's this great big angel next to you, and he pokes you." You can do it anytime. Ho! You know, there's angels in this room right now, and I don't necessarily see them, and sometimes I sense angelic activity, but they're here because God's Word says they're here.
Amen.
He said that the angels are ministering spirits sent to help the heirs of salvation.
Come on.
Okay, who's an heir of salvation? Yes. Who needs help? Okay, they're here. They're here. And it says they hasten to do God's bidding. You know, they do what God says. And so the angelic, you know, they always have gifts for us, but they're always, you know, they're listening. The angels are listening. They're listening to see if people are saying what God says. Because when we speak what God says, boom, they've got a gift and they're here to release what God is doing. But they're just waiting for people to partner with. Because if we go, "Oh God, why don't you ever heal me? Why, you know, the angels are going, "I don't know, I don't hear anything. It's just static, just this crackly noise that's really obnoxious. I can't understand what they're saying." And then we just say, "Oh, be healed in the name of Jesus. Of the blood of Jesus," and they go, "Whoa, I get that." That's, and boom, they deliver the package. And so, angelic hosts, you know, we don't worship angels, but we just thank you. We're grateful and we honor your presence because God sent you here to do some stuff. And we don't have to understand, we don't even know all. But we like you. You're welcome. And, you know, I mean, just see how much room is here. I mean, there's more room for angels than there are people down here. So.
Awesome. Yeah.
Let it rip. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God, you're so funny. Yeah. Joy, you know, joy's really a good thing. I used to minister to really curmudgeous Christians, you know, like sour-faced, grumpy Christians. I know that should be an oxymoron, you know, that grumpy and Christian should go together. But I did, you know, they were hurting people and they, you know, just grumpy all the time. And so this woman came up to me and she said, "I think you're a phony." I said, "Really? Oh, why is that?" And she goes, "Well, nobody's that happy all the time. You must be faking it." And so I promise I did not say this, but in my mind I thought, you know, real grumpiness or fake joy? Which would I like? I didn't say it, I promise. And her friend who was there, you know, he says to me, "Yeah, why are you so happy all the time?" And so, you know the Holy Spirit lives inside. Did you know that?
Yeah.
I mean, in case you didn't. So I just went, you know, why am I so happy all the time? Just ask them. And oh my goodness, I got hit with wave after wave after wave of the love of God. I mean, it's just, I'm going under, boom, 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 boom. You know, way down under the love of God. I didn't know if I'd ever come back out. And finally, I crawl back out, look at these people, and I want to give them an answer, and I just go, because he loves me. And the guy goes, you act like you believe it. And so I have a confession to make tonight that it's true. I really believe it. I really believe he loves me. He even loves you. Oh, Jesus, thank you. It's really getting hot up here right now. Jesus. You have permission to get really happy right now. You know, one time God told me I had permission to be the happiest person on the planet. I said, yes, please. I received that commission. Oh, and his joy just keeps coming. I go through trials like other people. Uh-oh. Somebody back there is getting happy. I've gone through trials. I've had problems in my life. But you know what? It's a whole different perspective when you're seated with him in heavenly places and he's laughing at the schemes of the enemy, and you look at the schemes of the enemy and you just go, hey, that is not going to destroy me. He's always provided for my wife and myself, and amazingly, but there was this one time, 1 month in our whole life, and we didn't own our house at that time. We were paying rent, and we didn't have the money for rent that month. And, all of a sudden, thoughts are coming at us. And I did ministry to the homeless people. That was my first job at Bethel Church, was, homeless ministry. And we bused the homeless in and fed them. And we went to the mission and we, fed them and talked to them and, did miracles, or God did the miracles. We just watched them. All of a sudden, both my wife and I, at the same time, had the thought, oh no, are we going to have to live at the rescue mission? I mean, there's a lot of drama at the rescue mission. I think I'd live in the woods instead of the rescue mission, personally. And so we told each other that, and we burst out laughing. We just burst out laughing. And all of a sudden, the joy of the Lord came, and everything changed, and we had money again, and, just miracles happened because we had heaven's perspective. And in heaven's perspective, the joy of the Lord's our strength. In his presence is fullness of joy. So why not hang out with him and look at the problems of the world? And then we are above only and not beneath. And we bring the atmosphere of heaven and the atmosphere of joy everywhere we go, instead of coming under the atmosphere of this world. I did an experiment one time. I do them a lot. But I just like to play with what God says is true and see if it's true, and it always is. Because it's the truth. And so the whole story is too long to tell, but it's really an amazing story. But I was on a flight coming from Europe, and the plane broke down. The engine blew up on the runway taking off, and so we didn't take off. good thing. they ended up putting us up in a hotel. We missed all our flights, and then we missed our flights again, and then they were going to get us a flight, and then they didn't. It was just this thing, this whole plane full of people that went on and on and on in, just disruption from the airlines. And so we were there finally at, 8 o'clock in the morning, supposed to get another flight. And there's this grumpy group of people getting on the airplane. And I just had this thought, I could fly with a grumpy group of people or a happy group of people. So I just had this thought. I thought maybe I'd try something different. So maybe, could you guys, just on the edge here, could you just help me out and stand right in the aisle for a minute? I just need your help, yeah. Okay, and so be grumpy. You're these grumpy people who've missed every flight, every connection, all their jobs, everything you're supposed to be doing. You know, you've just missed it all like three days in a row, and you're really grumpy. And so I decided just to do an experiment, and I've got the joy of heaven inside of me. And so I decided not to try to talk to people really, but just to walk by and. Oh, excuse me. I'm so sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. Whoops. Whoops. Sorry, I can't get you. It sets off the speaker. Here, take this one. So anyway, these people start laughing. You can sit down now if you want. Didn't they do a good job? Yeah. You didn't all get to see their grumpy faces, but that's okay. You know, and they all just got super happy, and we get on the airplane, and everybody's talking across the aisles, across the seats. They're laughing. You know, and the flight attendant gets up and goes, you know, well, you guys have just been bumped like 5 times, and wow, you're really happy. And they go, yeah, oh, we're having a great time. You know, they're just talking over the aisles. That never happens in the airplane. So we fly, I think it was from Frankfurt to San Francisco or wherever it was. We're flying into San Francisco, and it's the happiest plane ride I've ever been on. I should do this more often. And as we get to San Francisco, the flight attendant gets up and she goes, I just want to tell you that this is the happiest plane I've ever been on. Yeah, everybody goes, oh, we love you, you're awesome. They're exchanging email addresses with each other. I mean, it was crazy, and you should try it sometime. You know, I just decided that we could come under the atmosphere of the circumstance and situation, or we could lift the circumstance and situation up to the atmosphere of heaven. And it's just about knowing what we carry. And, oh my goodness. Whoa. Wait a minute. Is your husband here?
No, I left him home. I'm on the detention.
You left him home? Oh, this is an old friend of mine. The last time I was in Melbourne, I was here with her and her husband. Phew. Oh, Suzanne, so good to see you. Boom. Oh. How fun. you know, what's this got to do with healing? What's it got to do with anything? It has everything to do with everything, is our perspective. What am I going to look at? Am I going to look at the sickness, the disease, the problem, the vastness of the problem, the size of the problem, or am I going to look at Jesus?
Come on.
I mean, some problems are big. I mean, okay, imagine if you can. Just try to picture this if you can. Like imagine there's this worldwide pandemic. Just try to visualize it. No, you don't want to think about it, do you? Now, I mean, I really do believe that the church dropped the ball on that one. But we're not going to again. Because we were just taken aback, you know, oh, there's this disease, it's taking over the whole world. Instead of going, oh, wait, not on my watch. Okay, nobody in my town is going to get sick on this watch. I mean, and so I just believe it was a lesson that we learned. We're not condemned, we're not judged or punished or anything like that, but it's just, wait a minute. The enemy does not get the world. Jesus bought it back. And the enemy does not get my family, my loved ones, my city, the economy of the world. You know, the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so he's, you know, trying to steal people's identities. I mean, just look at the paper and or the news or social media, or don't. But you know, the whole, just all these questions about identity. Who am I? You know, I don't even know what my gender is. And you know, just all of these questions that people have because the enemy is trying to rob people of the being established in an identity at the very basic level of being male or female. Now, maybe this is politically incorrect, but that's okay with me. I was in England, and somebody said, "What do you do with your American politics? Aren't you embarrassed?" And I went, "You know, I'm citizen of another kingdom.
Come on.
And I'm living in the United States, and I'm visiting Australia, but I'm the citizen of another kingdom, and we've got standards, and, you know, I mean, our King is wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there'll be no end." I have no idea where I'm going or what I'm doing. I'm just filled with awe at God. And how amazing it is, and that we can carry heaven everywhere we go instead of come under the oppression of this world. And it's the greatest benefit ever. The designer of the universe, the King of all creation, the redeemer of the whole planet, you know, he said, yes, the enemy only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But he said, "I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." And so what I just want to share, you know, in case another worldwide pandemic comes along or anything like it, that when the enemy is doing his steal, kill, and destroy business, you want to recognize that, but then you want to know, oh good, Jesus is here. He's doing life and life more abundantly, and I'm going to be on His team. I am going to partner with Him, and we're going to bring life and hope and healing and health and in every way that we can to a world that's under steal, kill, destroy. Okay, and so this is our perspective, and the same is true with, you know, with sickness and disease. Sickness and disease, it isn't from God.
Come on.
It's the enemy stealing, killing, destroying. Okay? And so, you know, we can't blame people. Oh, you're sick. Well, you must have sin in your life. No, the enemy does this stuff. He's the one. Okay? Now, if you've had sickness or disease for a long time, it's actually just an injustice perpetrated by the enemy. It's an injustice. It's a violation of the love of God. But God's grace is greater, isn't it?
Yes.
And God's grace can see us through anything because He's gracious. But what we want to see is every single person healed. Because when Jesus was on the earth, everybody got healed. And so that's what we're going for. Now, if we don't see somebody get healed, we don't blame that person. We don't, you know, we don't blame God. We don't get it. I've had so many people say, you know, my child didn't get healed, or my parents didn't get healed, or whatever, and I'm so offended at God. Oh my goodness, get offended at the other guy, the one that steals, kills, and destroys. Getting offended at God cuts off your lifeline. God isn't offended at you. He's still pouring out blessing. Let me just share an experience, a testimony. There was a woman who was, she was super athletic, and she guided river rafts going down major rivers and taking people on trips, and just a strong, healthy woman. And she developed a disease similar to MS, and her muscles just broke down. She was in pain all the time. And her family were friends of mine, and we'd led them all to the Lord, and they prayed for her and prayed for her, expecting healing. She didn't get healed, and she got mad at God, and she was bitter and alone and didn't want to hear about Jesus. And my wife and I came to town, and we were old friends, and so the family convinced her to let us come by and pray. And so she was, you know, just locked up. And, you know, we came to pray. And what I like to do, and what we'll do tonight as we're praying, is, you know, I like to stop and ask God what he's doing and look to see what he's doing. And so here she is in her bitterness, and you know, I'm not going to just go, okay. And I'm going, okay, God, what are you doing? And I backed up, and what I saw was, I saw this giant black garbage bag, you know, descending out of heaven, and it was turned upside down, and it was tied off at the bottom, and there was a string dangling down that had tied it off. And it was bulging. And what I realized is at the top, it was more like a funnel because it was open at the top and it was bulging with stuff, but it was tied off right above her. And suddenly I realized that it was, she'd had this condition for 2 years. It was 2 years of the blessings of God being poured out on heaven, but it was being caught and tied up and not getting down to her. Now, I am not a counselor. I don't like counsel. I mean, I like counselors and I like that people get counseled. I just don't want to do it. and so my counselor friends would, you know, try to find out why this got tied off and, you know, what happened. I just said, hey, there's this bag that I told her all about. And I said, there's a string right here. And I'll bet you if you pull it, something will happen. I should have warned her. I mean, it was 2 years of the blessings of God all at once. She pulled that thing and bam, she is out on the ground. But in that 2 years of blessing, there was healing. There were miracles. There was peace. There was joy. There was hope. There was love. There was everything that God provisioned. There was everything that he'd been giving her, just waiting for her to open it up. And see, that's the thing is, healing is already paid for. Now, I know it's a struggle when we haven't seen it in our life or in our circumstances or situation or a loved one or somebody that we're praying for. And we're going to continue. Thank you. I know that's hard, and so I just want to share that in situations where we're waiting to see what God has promised come to pass, because it's supposed to just happen, but it's not. Okay, we're not going to blame God, we're not going to blame ourselves. What we're going to do, and this is the most important piece of information, is we're responsible to monitor our inner world. We've got to keep our inner world aligned with truth. I've got to keep myself in his love, in his word, I can't get offended at him and separate myself from his love, his power, his strength. And in fact, his joy has to be my strength. Amen. And so I'm going to feed on his truth. I'm going to declare his promises. I've got like 6 pages of promises of God from the scriptures that I've written out, because every time I need their healing promises, every time I need healing, I just want to read and fill myself with what he says about it, because I don't want to base my thinking and my feeling on what I see or what I hear or what I'm experiencing. You know, Jesus said, what did he say? He said something like, don't judge by the seeing of the eye or the hearing of the ear, but judge righteously. So I want to judge according to his word. What he says is the truth. Okay? Now, I've prayed for hundreds and hundreds of people who have cancer and have seen them healed. And then I've buried some friends who died of cancer. And people say, how do you reconcile that? I don't reconcile it. There's no reconciling. I just say, this is wrong. It's wrong that they didn't get healed. They're not wrong. Their family's not. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying this is wrong. And so I'm going to go after the next one and the next one and the next one until nobody I know dies of cancer again. Okay? I'm going to grieve with the family. I'm going to mourn. I've done funerals. I mean, I did a memorial service in the same room where we just had the healing rooms that morning, and hundreds of people got healed, and in the afternoon we had a memorial service for my friend who died of cancer. And I prayed for him so many times. And when he was finally in the hospital, I went to the hospital. I climbed in bed with him, lay there. We hugged each other, and we just laughed like crazy. We got totally blasted in the presence of God in his Holy Spirit, and we laughed and laughed. And as we hugged each other and laughed, all his pain left. And so we thought he was healed. And I came back the next day, and he was in pain, so I jumped in bed, and we just hugged each other and laughed. And every time we just laughed in the presence of God, all the pain would leave. But he didn't get healed. He died. He went to heaven, which is a wonderful thing. But we got left behind, and we didn't get to see, you know, that physical healing. How do I resolve that? I don't. I just know I have to monitor my heart that, you know, healing is what it's what Jesus said. He said, heal the sick. He said, like in Matthew 28, let's see, he said, a little bit of authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. What did he say? Oh, how much authority? Okay. And then he said, you know, go into all the world, you know, make disciples of all the nations. And how many here are from a nation? Anybody here from a nation? How many? Okay. So they must have done it, right? They made disciples who made disciples who made disciples who made us. So it worked. I mean, this one guy in the Middle East with 12 disciples, boom, it got here and all over the world. So, you know, this thing worked. But then he said, you know, baptize them into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? Didn't he say that? Those disciples? Okay. And I think that's more than just, you know, sprinkling, you know, name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The word baptismo means immersed into, and it comes from that dyeing purple cloth where you got a vat of purple. They crush up snails and make this purple dye. They put the cloth in, swish it around, and bring it out, and it comes out different. And so, you know, we're baptized into the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're immersed into the Trinitarian love symphony of heaven, the, you know, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit who always have been. And they're, you know, family and love and unity and oneness. And if you read John 17, Jesus says, the same union I have with the Father, you have with me. We've invited you in. I mean, this is our baptism into Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We want to know what we have. We've been made one with the divine Trinity. I don't even grasp that. I just go, yes, please, thank you. Yeah. And I want to explore the benefits of such a situation. I'm a co-heir with Christ of all things. And so, you know, then he says, and teach those disciples that you're making that are immersed into Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teach them to obey all the commands that I told you to obey. Right? Doesn't he say that? It's Matthew 28. You can look it up if you don't agree. With this heresy that I'm teaching right now. No. Teach them to obey everything I commanded you. And what did he command? One of the commands is heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Those are verbs in the imperative mood. Commands. Okay? And then he says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So for how long are we supposed to be doing this thing? Always, to the end of the age. Because he's the one there with us that makes it happen. He tells his disciples to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. And in that chapter, he never tells them how to do it. Because if he told them how to do it, we'd have a formula and we'd always be doing the formula. But it's not about a formula. It's not about technique. It's about healing. And it's about a relationship with the living God who heals. And so when we get together, we have 866 volunteers in the healing rooms. And, you know, when our teams get together, we just get blasted in the presence of Jesus. Because we know we've got to get our... turn to your your neighbor and point to your head and say, there's a control freak who lives up here. Husbands and wives, point to your own head, not your spouse's head. We want to figure out how to do things so we can be good at it and do it right. But miracles aren't like that. Miracles are a function of God, and all we need to do is know God. And so that's why we get blasted, so that we get, you know, get the logical linear thought out of the way, and it's just we're loved and we overflow with love, and we're just going to gush out love, and people are going to get healed, and we have more and more and more success the less it's about us. Yeah. It's difficult when it's all about us because we don't know how to do it. And I've had pastors and people come to me and say, you know, well, we're afraid of healing in our church because we don't know how to do it. And my team says, we love healing because we don't know how to do it. There's freedom in that. You just go in and go, God, you told me to do it. Here we are. Whoa, go ahead. Blow our minds. How are we going to do it? And people get healed. And sometimes we say, be healed. Sometimes we lay on hands. Sometimes we laugh. Sometimes we do funny little things, prophetic acts, crazy stuff, and people get healed. Sometimes so I was in Switzerland, and I mean, the Swiss are, they're so logical. And I love the things they make. I mean, they're so well made because of that. But the kingdom of heaven isn't made with logic. It's made by the word of God, by a miracle. And so we were doing this healing conference in a Catholic church, and they'd rented the Catholic church. And so my team and I were out just getting blasted just in the presence of God. And their team was in the kitchen, you know, in a circle praying logical Swiss prayers all the way around in a circle, and which is fine. And we just came blasting into the out of the snow, just blasting into this kitchen, totally oblivious to anything and just wrecked. And there was a man leaning against the stove, and I just went over to him and I hit him on the chest and went, bam! He drew a deep breath and he went, I can breathe. Now, I didn't know his story, but what he told me was he was the worship leader, but he'd had double pneumonia for 2 weeks and been in bed in fever, couldn't breathe, couldn't get up, couldn't walk, couldn't sing, couldn't do anything, and he was going to call in and say, I can't lead worship. And then he had this thought, this is so marvelous, I love his thought. He said, oh, but it's a healing conference. And so he came. Hallelujah. Remember that when you want to stay home from church because you don't feel well. Okay, can I have your attention, please? Shh. I'm going to reel it back in. Shh. Okay, thank you. Okay, if you are experiencing any change, anything is different, any diminishing of symptoms, or just any change in your body that is different, would you wave your hands in the air? We just want to see what God's doing. Okay, keep them up in the air. Everybody look around. Look around in the back. Look up. That Jesus is doing that. This is called breakthrough in the room. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, this is breakthrough. Okay, things are changing. You know, his healing power is coming in, pain's diminishing, movement's improving, there's evidence of his presence in people's bodies. And this is what we want to do. See, God's grace is huge. He's given us everything, but we don't really know how to appropriate his grace until we recognize evidences of it. And it can be the tiniest thing. If your pain was 10 out of 10 and it goes down to a 9.2, you know, you want to celebrate pain going down, not, oh, I've got a lot of pain still. So we're learning to connect with what God is doing, and then we see it increase. And it doesn't increase because thanking him to manipulate him to do more. It increases because he's already done more, and we're beginning to connect with what he's already done. He already paid for all of our healing, and we're starting to connect, but we have to recognize the part he is doing, not be overwhelmed by what he hasn't, what we don't see him do. Okay? So who needs some more? Anybody needs some more? Okay, we've got some people who need more. Okay, so let's do it again. Let's just stop and turn our attention back to him. Thank you, Jesus. Yep. We turn our attention back to you. Yep. Okay. Now go ahead and command that pain to leave and release the goodness of God into your friend. Command all the pain to go. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, release that good healing. Release the blessing of God, the peace of God. Just pour it into your friend. Okay. Up, can I have your attention, please? Shh. Okay. Shh. Whoop. Shh. Okay. Now go ahead and check it out again. You know, test out your body. You're looking for anything that's different, any evidence of his presence in you. It could be peace is overwhelming you. It could be all pain's leaving. It could be anything. But we're looking for the manifestation that he's giving you of his healing power in your body. So just check it out, move around, see what's different. Okay? If you're experiencing any changes, would you wave your hands in the air again? Just put your hands up if you're experiencing changes. Okay? People, shh. Okay, put your hands up if you're experiencing changes. Okay, look around. We want to celebrate. These are breakthroughs. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, go ahead and go back to your seat for a minute just so that we can find out what's happening here. Okay, so if you experienced any kind of change or any evidence of, you know, God touching your body, would you stand up and wave your hands, because we really want to give God glory for what he's doing in the room. Okay, stay up. Woo! Okay, look around. Celebrate this. This is breakthrough. God's doing this. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Okay. So this is called breakthrough in the room. Okay, it's the breakthrough of heaven that God's breaking through. Now, for some of you, maybe it's a complete, you know, completely finished thing. For some of you, it's just the beginning. But it's still the breakthrough, because Jesus finishes what he starts. He's faithful. He's faithful to complete the thing that he begins. So is there anybody that you feel like your pain, maybe it's 80% gone? Would you just raise your hand? If you feel, okay, look at that. Whoa, all right, woo, okay, Jesus. That's awesome. Well, what about 50% or more? If you feel like it's like 50% or more, just raise your hands. Woo, all right, Jesus. Woo, that's awesome. Okay, that means it's on its way out. Yeah. Phew, and even if it's 1%, yeah, it's on its way. Okay? Because God introduces himself and, you know, he completes the work. Now, when we celebrate these other people's breakthrough, and we still need a breakthrough ourselves. When I join my celebration with theirs, their breakthrough becomes my breakthrough. And it's, you know, like if Dean and I were looking for the best job in the world and he got it, I could be, you got it. I could either be jealous because I didn't get it, or I could celebrate him getting it because I'm going to join my celebration with him and go, yep, what he got, now that's what I want too. You know, and so his testimony becomes my testimony and I celebrate that, and then it becomes my own breakthrough. And so we need to realize that, you know, God's not showing favorites and he's not, you know, just healing. I mean, sometimes there have been times where like one side of the room everybody got healed and not so much on the other side. And so you go, well, God clearly likes this side better. But it's not true at all. But it's, you know, this side has the opportunity to celebrate their breakthrough because their breakthrough then becomes ours and we get to ride that wave. And so, you know, these are just principles of how heaven works. But one thing that I want to do, whoa, there's like a little portal right here that opened up. Oh my goodness. Whoa. So I'm calling this breakthrough in the room because heaven is broken through and healing is flowing. Okay? Now, if you have a chronic condition, you know, perhaps it's a named disease or, you know, it could be cancer or anything that, you know, it isn't going to be healed by itself without intervention, I'd like you to stand up because we want to take this breakthrough that we see in the room and we want to share it with you guys. We want to pour that out into you. Okay, and so, you know, any chronic or named condition, and we can include you if you want, because you're not standing up. okay, so look around, and we just want to ask you to get up and get around these people, because we're going to join them in praying for their breakthrough. Yep, we want to see them get the complete breakthrough from whatever the condition is that they have. Okay? So, is there anybody that you stood up and nobody's standing around you because everybody's standing up and they missed you? Just wave your hand if you need. There's somebody in the way back that wants to have some people. And you can have, I mean, you can have two, you can have five, you can have, it doesn't matter how many, but we just want some people around you. Okay? So, what, I'd like to just take about 30 seconds so that you can just tell the people what your condition is. Okay, just tell the people around you what your condition is, just so that they've got a target for that. Okay, no lengthy diagnosis, just the basics, please. Okay? Okay, shh. Can I have your attention back, please? Shh. Thank you. Okay, so you know what the target is. You know what, and I just want to share that, you know, every sickness, condition, breakdown in the body, I mean, it can even be a genetic thing, but it's all a violation of God's love. And so what we want to do is we want to just cancel that assignment. And so we're going to stand in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who poured out his life that we could have healing, poured out his life that we could have salvation, poured out his life that we could be free and whole. We're going to stand in his name, and we're going to command that condition to leave our friend's body. So go ahead and do that right now for about, 30 seconds. Yep. We command all of these conditions to leave right now. Yep, every condition to leave these bodies. Okay. And now I want you to just declare over them a realignment of systems. You know, whether it's in their brain, in their organs, in their blood, whatever it is. We're just calling for a realignment of all of their cells, their blood, their systems. It can be the brain, it can be connections being made in the brain that, for greater functioning, just anything. We're calling those things to come into alignment with heaven. Just declare that right now. Okay, and like I shared before, that sickness and disease are really a violation of God's love for this person. He still loves them, and they can still be loved, but this is, standing in the face of his love. And so we want to pour love into our friends right now. And any way that you can creatively do it, you can declare love over them, you can pour buckets of love over them, you can ask him if you can hug them or give him a kiss on the head. But I just want you to pour love into your friend. Just pour that love of God into your friend right now. Just pour it all over. You're going to fill them up. Fill them to the brim. Overflowing. Yep. Just minister God's love to this friend of yours. Yep. We speak love. Yep. The love of God. Hi, how you doing? Hi. Yep, just pour a little more love in. They need a whole bunch of love, a whole bunch of nourishment. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Your question. Is this still on? Okay, boom. Now I've got a big gun right now. Okay, those of you who just received ministry, I just want you to check out what's happening in you. And because of many of your conditions are untestable, what I'd like to know is if you feel during this ministry time, if you feel like anything lifted, just lightened on you or lifted off of you, I'd like you to raise your hand. Just show, oh, look. All right. Woo. Okay. Yay. Woo. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Okay. Hey, so come on back to your seats and let me just ask a few questions. Jesus. The healer is in the room right now. He's doing his healing stuff.
Yep.
Just doing that stuff that he does. He just heals. It's who he is.
Yep.
I've even found him to be a compulsive healer. He just can't stop himself. He just heals. Yep. Yep. When the leper asked him if he was willing, he said, "Yep, I am willing. That's my name. I am willing. That's what I came for. That's my purpose. I'm willing." And he's willing for you too. So I just want to ask if you know, a number of people said that, you felt like that you were 80% or more breakthrough, and a number had 50%, and a number of you felt like something lifted. I'd just like to hear a few testimonies of what happened, what did change in you. So if anybody is brave enough and you want to come up, I'd really love to hear a few testimonies. Somebody, those of you who said that you're 80%, can we have somebody come up here? And here comes somebody. Yeah, just any of you, come on up. I'd love to hear what God's doing. Okay, hi, what's your name?
My name's Diane.
Diane? Hi, Diane.
Hi.
Hey, hi, Diane. It's nice to
see you. I've actually had pain in my right knee for probably close on a year, on and off, just coming in more and more intense, and it's been getting really annoying and just gets in the way of everything. And tonight, the bulk of it's actually gone. It's almost all gone.
Jesus! Yay!
Yep. Yeah. Let's just say for Diane, 100%. Woo! All right. Yay! Somebody else that you can share something that Jesus did tonight. All right. Hi. Hi, what's your name?
Shell.
Hi, Shell.
Hi.
If you don't watch out, you're going to get happy.
I'm already happy.
Oh, good. Okay, tell us what Jesus did tonight.
Well, today I was told that I need another 5 levels of my neck fused. And just tonight, it was declared over me that I had full restoration, and the burning in my spine that I've been trying to cover with as much joy as I can for so long is not burning right now. So,
oh. Woo! Yeah.
Woo!
All right. Yep. Yep.
Pray and never comes back.
Yep, gone and never comes back. That's right. 100% and never return. Shoo! All right. Oh, yay. Woo! And, yep, we declare no more back fusing. Yep, no need for surgery. Okay, and somebody else, something that you felt lift off of you, or you, okay? Come on up. Yeah, the floor is moving. Yeah, I get that feeling sometimes too. I feel like I'm on a boat. So, what's your name?
My name's Alan. Yeah, I. I came in with a pretty sore leg, and I couldn't put any weight on my left leg.
Yeah.
And I was having a bit of a practice run before there, a walk. I should say walking up on the underside there. I can put weight on my left leg that I couldn't do before. So,
all right.
That was a. Yeah, so I'd say it's more than 50.
Okay.
So it's better than 50% now.
All right.
started off, didn't make a lot of difference. Then she has a prayed for me again. And
Getting better.
Much better. And got some prayer before from Dave from behind. So I'm looking forward to great things.
Amen. All right. Bless you. Yep, we say 100% for you. All the way. All right. Watch out for that floor. It moves. One more? Is there one more person that, you know, you just had something? You want to be brave and come up and share? All right. Woo! Hi, Hannah.
Hi. My name's Hannah, if people can't hear from the front. Just clarifying. I came into the service today with quite a big headache. So I do studying at school, so I spend most of my day at a desk, which sucks. But I developed a lot of back and shoulder pain. So starting, prayed, would go down a little bit, and then like a second round of prayer, and my stubborn headache just wouldn't leave until suddenly like I got filled with joy, and it was just gone.
Whoa! Come on! More joy. More joy for Hannah. Oh! There is a direct correlation between joy and healing. It says, a merry heart does good like a medicine. You know, happy bodies heal quicker. Yep. Oh. So maybe we